Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, I have mentioned this in the past, but the new MyCam GPS is now available. This is a dash cam and GPS unit in one. So you've got this beautiful large 5-inch display on the front and a 1080p camera on the back that is monitoring and recording everything that you're doing. The best benefits here, obviously, is it's going to take you where you need to get to. However, it's also going to record that whole journey. So if anything does happen on the road, even if it doesn't involve you, you're capturing it on camera as well. And I think for anybody who's taking road trips this holiday season, please, whether it's this dash cam or another, I couldn't recommend it higher that people buy a dash cam. And again, you choose where you go for them. I expect you all to do your research. This new unit will have your onboard navigation and your dash cam in one. It could be that perfect holiday companion, maybe even better than the person sitting next to you in the car. Do check it out. Head to navman.com.au and have a look at their entire range. But again, I emphasize, have a look at the MyCam GPS. It is gorgeous. Let's go with the show. Right, super excited. I just came out of a virtual wine tasting event, and it was with Hardy's Wines, based in South Australia. And we did this all over Zoom. Quite interesting to do. They sent me 4 bottles of wine. I had to put one in the fridge. It was a Riesling. And then we started going through this Zoom call, and the chief winemaker was walking through all the wines. Amazing thing to do. Usually I like to go to cellar doors to actually go through a tasting, but this was done virtually. The crazy part was I had a full bottle of each of the wines that I was tasting. So that's a little bit different to when you actually visit a winery and do a tasting and you get a little drop in the glass. Now, my favorite and the one that I'm having tonight is the Eileen Hardy. Now, this is their bee's knees. This is their top of the range bottle. It's $130 recommended retail price. It's pretty high. It's pretty steep. However, it's a damn good wine. It's a McLaren Vale Shiraz 2016, only just now being released. It's been sitting for a little while. The biggest thing that I have to say here, and I'm not going to tell you all to go rush out and buy a $130 bottle of wine, but the other wines that we tasted, there was a different Shiraz. It was a year younger. That one's around the $30 mark. Still a really nice, you know, bottle of Shiraz that you could put on the table any day of the week and enjoy it. But it was interesting that all of these new wines, there was a Riesling, a GSM, a Shiraz, and obviously this special Shiraz that they've got. Every single one of these bottles of wine, if you walked into a store and bought them, if you take it home and you don't like it, they're giving you a money-back guarantee. So here is somebody who could go into a Dan Murphy's, buy this Eileen Hardy bottle of wine, $130, and if you don't like it, you go on their website, send them a photo of the receipt, a bottle of the wine that's been opened to prove that you've actually tasted it. You tell them in 15 words or something like that why you didn't enjoy the wine because they actually want the feedback. And give them your bank details, they'll put the money back in your account. That to me is a ballsy move. I just love that a consumer good, you know, something that you would actually drink, can now be completely refunded if you just don't like it. Anyway, huge thing for Hardy's to do, not just on their cheaper bottles of wine, but all the way up to this much more beautiful $130 bottle of wine. It is a lovely bottle. I am feeling a little bit cheeky that I'm able to have this wine while talking tech with you guys. But today on the show, we're going to talk a lot of tech. We're going to talk about iPhone 12 rumors. We have a locked-in date. Let's start speculating on what we're going to see. Smart door locks. I've been testing 2, and I can't wait to tell you a little bit about those. If you're interested in, you know, adding the front door to your smart home. Google's Nest Audio, so their latest smart speaker, I've been running that through the paces. I can now officially talk about it as well. And we're going to take your questions. Now, if you heard the interview episode, you would have seen that our interview episodes are now sponsored by Boost, and we love having them on board. I explained all of that in last week's show as to why. But now we have a mobile number, and I want to start hearing from you. I tweeted out the number earlier in the week, and I've started to receive some questions, which we'll answer on the show. But while you're listening, take your phone out, put a pen and paper out, 0467-439-078. I'll repeat it again, 0467-439-078. For anyone overseas, you just add the +61 and drop the first zero, and you can SMS me as well. Guys, this is going to be the easiest way for you to reach me via text. Send me an SMS, ask me your question. Ideally, attach a name for the two that we're answering this week. I had to come back and say, hey, can you tell me your name so we can mention it in the podcast? Doesn't be your full name, just your first name is fine. So at least it makes it sound like we're talking to somebody who's texted in. So I'm really happy to have Boost on board and that they've provided a SIM card as well for the Boost text line, as we're calling it. So amazing. I'm really pumped. It's been a big start of the week. That interview with Spotify was fantastic. Next week, you'll hear from HMD, which is Nokia, and everything that they've been up to. Let's get on with the iPhone 12. So most of us would have woken up in the morning and seen the picture that Apple had in their invitations. And most of the media, not me again, received an invitation to a publicly screened virtual product launch that Apple's doing next week. And the invitation, for those who did receive it, says hi, speed. So hi as in hello, and speed as in, well, obviously speed. It's got some interesting colors and things like that. And people literally stare at these things like a magic eye and wait for something to pop out of them and tell them what they're going to see. I think the obvious one is the word speed. Everyone has been talking about this for a long time, that Apple should have a 5G smartphone available or going announced next week. Now, yes, we should expect that. I think if they didn't, it would be weird, considering I don't know in any other smartphone brand that does not have a 5G version on the market. Samsung's literally been doing it for years. I've now got the Google Pixel 5. I still can't give you the review on that one yet, potentially next week. That's a 5G phone. They've even got a 4A 5G at $699, which is a 5G phone. And you'd kind of expect that iPhone 12 will be a 5G model. They may have a variant that's 5G and a variant that's 4G. We know they already have the iPhone SE, which they announced just a number of months ago, that looks like an iPhone 8, but has more updated internals. That one is $749 and is not 5G. So straight away, you're going to think that if the new iPhone, iPhone 12, I think they will have a 4G version around the $1,100 mark. And then it usually costs, if you look at other smartphones, between a 4G and a 5G variant, it's usually an extra $150. Add some Apple tax on top of that. So maybe a $200, $250 variant on their 4G option. So I think that's what they'll do. I still think they'll do a Max or a Pro Max, whatever they want to call them. So we could realistically see four devices announced. I've heard rumors around a Mini being announced. I think that would be interesting for them to do, considering they have the SE already in the market. But look, we'll wait and see. Apple have done some crazy things in the past. But then I start to look at all the rumors and I think about the iPad event that we had. And we had all these different products we were talking about, new HomePod, new AirPods, headphones, this and that. And all that we got was the Apple Watch and the iPad and some software services around it. And you start to think, well, what are we over speculating what we think Apple is capable of anymore? Because we continue to say, oh, they're going to announce 10 different things. And then they announce the two that everyone knew were the most obvious. So I don't want to set my expectations too high. I expect, obviously, a new iPhone. Do I expect that they'll announce a new pair of AirPods? Maybe. But I don't want to say, oh, I can't wait for them to announce new AirPods, because they may just let you down again. And it may be the same for a new HomePod. The current HomePod that they have, it was their first version. I think it started at $699 when it first came to market. I'm pretty sure now you can buy it for like less than $300. It's just Siri in a box. The speaker is good, but the voice assistant is no good. So it's really one of those products that they could probably just recycle and start making iPhone cases out of them, because it'd be better off. Then the new AirPods, the AirPods Pro, I love. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Could they improve on them? I don't know, I guess. Make them smaller if you want, but I love them already. I wouldn't have a plan to upgrade them if they released a new pair. And then there's obviously talk around them bringing out a new pair of over-ear headphones. So obviously, given that they own Beats, could they finally make a pair of Beats headphones with an Apple logo on the side? That would be interesting to see if they did that. You would also need to consider why they would do that. Beats has a fantastic brand in itself, and they already put the Apple chips inside them, so they worked so well with your iPhone. Do they really need to do this? And would it be a bit of a stab in the back to Beats if they were to take their branding off effectively and put the Apple branding on? I don't know. So there is a bit to consider here. And I think obviously next week at 4 a.m., I'll be waking up to watch the event. I'm sure it's going to be a busy 24 hours from then onwards. As you know, if I think about the iPad and Apple Watch event, it started off with radio in the morning, multiple radio sessions in the morning. I ended up doing Singapore and then I did even Malta radio as well to talk about everything that was announced. So you think about the time zones that we cover as tech people, it can get pretty crazy. Obviously, a lot of people just stick to Australia, which is much easier if you think about time zones and stuff like that. But, you know, I guess people, voices, technology has no borders anymore. So it's nice to reach out and hear from other countries and also how the different people think about things. Sometimes the news is received differently in one country to another. So tell me, text me now. You can actually text me these responses if you don't want to email or whatever. 0467-439-078. Let me know, would you be interested in the iPhone 12? Have you been holding out all year for the iPhone 12 and ignoring all the other devices that have launched, and this is the time that you make that big decision? I'd love to hear from you. That's exactly what the text line is for. And it's really me. I had somebody ask me on Twitter, they said, where is this SMS actually going? I'm like, no, seriously, dude, I've got a phone on my desk that's powered on 24/7 and it's ready to go. That's it. It literally sits in front of me. I'll respond. You'll hear back from me. So anyway, let me know what you think about the iPhone 12. How many variants do you think we'll see? What would you pay for an iPhone with 5G? I think that's another big question we have to start thinking about. Considering the market, that there are plenty of 5G devices, less than $1,000, how much will it hurt to pay $1,200 plus, maybe $2,000, for an iPhone with 5G? All right, now let's get straight into a real quick question I had from Jeremy. Jeremy texted through and he said, Jeff, I love to go running outdoors. What's the best pair of headphones that I could be using while running? Obviously, in my head, I'm thinking about going wireless. If you're running, arms swinging, you don't want a cord attached to your phone. The second thing, if you're going outdoors, you want some water resistance built in, not just sweat resistance. So that's another thing to factor. Given that you are running, you need to have an arm that wraps around the ear. So many wireless buds currently just stick inside the ear canal and they do hold really well, but having an extra level of grip, which is a small arm extension that comes off the bud and wraps around the top of the ear, is extremely important. Now, I'm essentially describing the Powerbeats Pro. The Powerbeats Pro to me is one of the best wireless headphones that you can have if you're vigorously exercising. And I say vigorously in a way that, you know, I know you could do high intensity exercise on a bike. I get that. But if you're bouncing around, if you're running, especially if you're running sort of tracks, as if like mountains, rocky areas, doing a bit of jumping, a bit of hopping, I think that's another special reason to have it. Honestly, if one of these buds fall out, you're never going to find it. And that's why having that extra grip is extremely important. Plus, the Powerbeats Pro actually sound incredibly good as well. If you do have an iPhone, they will pair to your iPhone in the same way that AirPods do. So you open the case when you first get them and your iPhone will literally wake up and be like, hey, there's new headphones nearby. Do you want to connect to them? Like, that's how smart it is. But then on an Android device, it still works really well as well, just like a pair of typical Bluetooth earbuds. They sound exceptional. That would be the one I would choose. I hope that helps, Jeremy. Now let's get on with some other bits and pieces. Okay, now I have been testing the Nest Audio from Google. This is a great little smart speaker. It's around the size of a book. You know, if you imagine a good thick reading book that you might be having. I'm actually looking at my bookshelf here and I've got that Arnold Schwarzenegger book called Total Recall. It's pretty much the height and thickness of the Total Recall book. That's a weird one to reference, but it is. Similar height, pretty thick, but it does have that book shape. And honestly, I first of all will tell you, I think this belongs on a bookshelf. Not because it looks good next to books, but it has that perfect size for a bookshelf. I've also placed it before on entertainment unit. I think it looks quite cool next to a television or something like that. And this is this kind of smart speaker that you just walk into a bedroom or an office or something like that, and you just want to ask those typical questions, you know, about the weather, about how long it might take you to get to a place that you're about to head off to. That's one of the things I love to do, is how long it's going to take me to get to the city. And it gives me a bit of an estimate based on traffic and things like that. The other thing you can actually do with smart speakers that I love doing is, you know, if you ask it a question like, how far away is Keith Tulloch in Hunter Valley? It might tell you it's going to be 80 kilometers away, and it can send directions directly to your smartphone so that once you get in the car, you literally hit open up Google Maps and you're on your way. I love doing that. Anyway, separate thing. So the Nest Audio is, what they say, is 75% louder and has 50% stronger bass than the original Google Home. What I can tell you from an audio point of view is that it sounds pretty darn good, but it sounds good for what it is. And first and foremost, it's a $150 smart speaker. Now, at $150, you'll be surprised at how good it sounds, but you won't be thinking to yourself, wow, I should just buy this instead of a Sonos One. You know, a Sonos One is a smart speaker. It can work on the Google and Amazon voice assistants, but you don't put these things side by side to actually see which one sounds better, because the Sonos One will knock it out of the park. However, for a typical bedroom, maybe you've got kids or teenagers who want to listen to music in their room, this is a perfect unit. It looks sleek. It looks clean. They can ask it to play something from the radio. They can ask it to start streaming something off Spotify, whatever music service you are using. It's that kind of speaker. It's everyday, stick it in any room, and you'll be pretty happy with it. If you're somebody who really wants to tune into your music, really wants to get super detailed about hearing those guitar strings play, the Sonos One will fill the room a bit better, and it will actually produce those notes a little bit better as well. The other thing to note here is that at $150, what if you bought two and stick two in the room? That's what you can do. You can actually stereo pair two units. So if you bought two Nest Audios and spent $300, you can put one as a left speaker and a right speaker, separate them a little bit in the room, and actually produce even better sound. So I think that's a really good option here. The other thing I'll say as well is that it can support multi-rooms. So say, for example, you're having a party and you've got a bunch of different Nest speakers. Even if you've got a Nest Hub Max in the kitchen like I do, you could actually be saying, you know what, play music on everything. Play music on every speaker in the house, and all of a sudden you've got this beautiful party going on. So the Nest Audio, $150. I think it looks great. Mine is a gray. It's also coming in a charcoal. Countries outside of Australia are getting other colors, which I think is even better. But you know, chalk and charcoal is what we see in Australia. It's very nice. It's all fabric. It's got these four indicator lights that will come on when you're talking to it, which is a good visual idea that it's listening. And I do appreciate that. And when it's thinking, I'll start to pulse a little bit as well. So it's a great speaker for the everyday room at $150. It's hard to compete on that price point, if I'm honest, especially in smart speakers. So do check it out. Obviously, you can go to google.com or something like that and find the Nest Audio, but it's also in all of the retailers today. All right, on the Boost text line, I had a message from Debbie. Debbie says, Jeff, I heard you on the radio the other day talking about a Bluetooth tracker for your keys. Can you explain a little bit more about what that was? Okay, perfect. So Debbie, what you would have heard me talk about was Tile, spelt just like the word tile. Go to any electronics retailer, you'll find them. They essentially can be a key ring for your keys. They can be something that you stick to a TV remote, a business card size that you can put in your wallet or in your passport holder. This is a small Bluetooth tracker, and they usually have at least a year of battery life. Some of them have up to 3 years of battery life. It connects to your phone through a smartphone app, which is so simple to use and to set up. And it allows you to find your keys. So for example, with me, I have one attached to my car keys. If I'm anywhere in the house and I'm wondering where the heck I've left my keys, I can open up my phone, go into the Tile app and ring my keys. Literally, the keys will start ringing. It's very loud and you will certainly find them. On the flip side, and this is what you probably heard me say on the radio, on the flip side, if you can't find your phone and it's on silent, so what good is it to call it? You go up to your Tile, you double click the Tile, and it starts to ring your phone on loud, whether your phone has been triggered into silent mode or not. It's a fantastic idea. The Tile products, they don't have to be that expensive. Individual units start from about $40 odd. You can get them in a two-pack for about 75, but then they've got the ones for your wallet and things like that. They can vary on price too. They usually come in combo packs now. So have a look at them. I have one attached to the TV remote because I have a two-year-old who might hide it. I have one inside my passport wallet because that would be the hardest thing to lose, or the worst thing to lose, I should say. And the other thing I'll mention as well is if you've lost it, if you literally can't find your keys, you're opening the app's like, bro, I'm trying to ring your keys, but they're not in range. Something they're missing, like they're properly missing. You mark it as lost inside the app. And now what happens is everybody who's part of the Tile community, and that's everybody who has the Tile app on their phone, becomes silent finders for your keys. And what that means is whenever they're walking around on their everyday, if their phone notices those keys within their range, they won't know about it, but an alert will be sent back to Tile and sent back to you that your keys have been found, and that will provide you with the GPS coordinates and the map to go rush and find your keys. And I think a lot of people have been saved by that before. It does work. I've tested this. It absolutely does work. Worth checking out. They are absolutely an investment. Think about the cost to replace a car key or your house keys, or effectively your wallet or passport. It's a nightmare, and these are great insurance policies. So do check them out. Go to another Tile website or any electronics retailer, and you'll certainly find them all there. All right, last part of the show from me. I want to talk about smart door locks. And if you're somebody who has the smart speaker in the home, you've got your little robot vacuum, I know the kind of person you are, you've got the smart lights, all this sort of stuff, you love to replace things and get rid of the keys in your life, get rid of all the manual things that you used to do, and the front door is the last entry point. Well, let's talk about them. Now, it does take time to test a smart door lock, and it's probably why it's hard to find reviews of them sometimes. But I wrote up for The Australian a comparison between a Samsung A30, which is their smart lock, as well as the Nuki, N-U-K-I, version 2, which is also available now as well. So you can go and read that review. But to give you guys a bit of my own summary without, you know, reading, the Samsung A30 is a $569 product, not cheap. It doesn't have a door handle, okay? And I mentioned this on a episode when this was originally announced. There's no door handle. It effectively replaces your deadlock. So if you have a deadlock on your front door already, you're going to take the front and back pieces off. You're going to keep that hole, obviously, and the deadbolt itself. And the Samsung A30 has a front piece and a back component that basically plugs in between that. It's very simple to install. Anyone can do it. If I can do it, trust me, you can do it. Now, on the front, as in on the outside part of the door, you have a pin pad, which you can use, and you have a fingerprint sensor. Cool. On the inside, you've got that typical sort of unlock, turn the barrel way of opening it. In case somebody's at the door, you don't have time to be smart about it. You just want to walk up to the front door and unlock it to let somebody in. You can do that still. Now, how do you unlock the Samsung A30? Well, I've kind of given away two options. First of all, you can have a PIN code and you can have your fingerprint registered. The cool thing here is that you can have individual PIN codes for individual people. Same thing, obviously, with the fingerprint sensor, but with the PIN codes, say, for example, you have a cleaner and you have a cleaner that comes by on a Monday between 10 and 12. Well, give them their own PIN code and it will only work on that day during those times. You can register their fingerprint if you really so choose to, and it makes sure that you get alerted when they've come home or when they've arrived into your home. You can also then remove their access very easily as well. And this is something that I do love. If you're somebody who is dating and you've thought about giving your house keys to your boyfriend or girlfriend so they can come and visit and walk in whenever they like, well, get a smart lock, because when things go pear-shaped, you just delete them from the lock and they can't get in anymore. Not that they necessarily will after you've broken up. That's creepy. But I've heard of a lot of people who've had to change door locks because of a breakup as well. So you've got those options immediately. But you can also obviously unlock the door on approach through Bluetooth proximity. So as you get close to the door, your lock realizes you're there and unlocks automatically. You give it a bit of a shove with your butt and the door will open for you. The other way, obviously, is to use your phone. You can actually, from your phone, open up the app and press unlock anywhere in the world. And an advantage of that is that somebody may arrive early and you're not home yet and you're rushing home, but somebody knocks on the door, and rather than waiting outside, you can just unlock the door from your phone and let them in. They can have a seat while you're on your way home. That's a really handy thing too. And then, of course, it also integrates with your smart home. So asking Google or Alexa to open the front door will do that. Maybe your hands are dirty, you're halfway through cooking, someone's arrived at the door, you know who it is, maybe they've popped up on your kitchen display through your camera system, and you just ask the door to unlock and they can push themselves in and make their way into the home. The new key, I'm pronouncing it new key, I think it's actually meant to be like new key, N-U-K-I, starts at $420. The lock itself also then has other options that you can get on top of it. That's why I say it starts at $419, because you can get things like fobs, like those key fobs that will register with the lock to open automatically. And you can also have a separate pin pad if you want to have a separate pin pad to unlock the door. That's also an option too. Now, the difference with the new key to the Samsung one is that you leave your existing deadlock in place. The existing deadlock will stay there. And what you'll actually end up doing is effectively bolting this onto the back of the door. So if you live in an apartment or a rental house where you can't really be doing this kind of stuff, the new key is the option for you because it bolts on to the back of your existing lock. In fact, the key even stays inside the barrel and it just holds on top of that. And effectively what the smart lock is doing is turning that key for you and opening that door. It's very different in that way. Now, it obviously still does work with your phone in terms of proximity unlock and lets you in. Same thing, it can connect to your smart home to be opened as well. I've mentioned you can spend extra to get the pin pad if you so choose to, and you can also spend extra to get key fobs. I think the key fobs are great for kids because you just put it in their school bag or you give it to them, they keep it on, I don't know, their key ring, and that way when they get home from school, the door automatically unlocks for them as well. Again, given that it only has a unit on the back, if you do have somebody who still carries a physical key, they can actually still approach the front door and unlock with a real key as well. So plenty of options there with the new key. I think it's one of those great things that you can take off and take with you if you were to move house or your rental agreement finishes and you need to move on. It's a really cool option. The Samsung one is more elegant, but it is a more permanent solution. There's a bit more work to do in doing that. So worth checking out both of them. Head to The Australian or go to their direct websites and see the images, see the product videos and do some more research for yourself. There are other brands out there. If you head to a Bunnings, you'll see plenty of other smart locks. These are the two that I've tested so far. Again, if you've got any other questions around them, let me know. You can always, as you know, you can SMS me, 0467-439-078. I'll just keep giving that number out until you've got it saved in your phone. Jeff's Boost text line. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is a wrap. Don't forget, next Tuesday, you will be hearing an interview with the country manager for HMD, which obviously runs the Nokia brand, and hear all about their journey in reintroducing smartphones back into the country, as well as we'll have the iPhone event that week as well. So we're going to talk about all new iPhones next week, I expect, and I expect we'll also be talking about other products that they announce on the day as well. I may shift the podcast to be released on that day, so you don't have to wait too long to hear my thoughts on the new iPhone, but otherwise, stay tuned to my socials where you'll get to hear about when I'm going to appear on radio or TV or whatever it is and how you'll be able to catch my news impacts immediately. So do check it out. It's an exciting week next week. I'm pumped. It's finally here. I just hope we're not all let down. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. 0467-439-078. If you haven't texted me yet, what else could you possibly be waiting for? Speak to you all soon. Thanks again for listening. Love you all. Bye-bye.